Welcome to Win Tucson this Tuesday, this Giving Tuesday. And I thought, what a great day to feature some of the great work that's being done here in Tucson to help children and to help others. And so I have Kathy Bell in from Team Lizzie Bell. And
hello.
Welcome. Good morning. And Aaron Mendablis, also from Team Lizzie Bell, but also Bella Vita. And we'll talk about all of this. So, Kathy, and you are Kathleen, you told me.
Yeah, I am.
Kathleen, if you're mad at me.
I know. I was Kathy growing up. So it's funny because, you know, when my mom was mad at us, our whole name, you know Kathleen Ann Marie. So
there you go. Mine too, Kathleen Ann.
See,
funny. Wow.
In the all things
synergy.
Yeah. So, tell my listeners about Team Lizzie Bell. You have a great reputation. So.
Oh, thank you, thank you. We are a nonprofit in the community, and we began our nonprofit because we were living a lifestyle with a medically fragile child, and in 1994, Elizabeth was born. And she had one of the rarest marrow failure conditions in the country, in the world. Mm. At that time...
So bone marrow?
A bone marrow, yeah. It's a diamond black fat anemia. And it is a red cell type of situation where the body just doesn't know how to make red cells, or they make them and they don't actually grow into adult red cells, or all different kinds of complications with this condition. So as an infant, we were immediately thrown into the world of medically fragile children at the hospital, University Medical Center back then. And when we were constantly living there, we began to see what was happening with families, what was happening with caregivers, and what was happening with the type of medical services we could acquire. The biggest change was just living in the hospital constantly. Mm-hmm. And when we were having to be there, we would either bring food or go downstairs to the cafeteria and buy lunch. And that's when I noticed that the other families weren't coming back up with a tray, and the other families weren't serving their children any kind of homemade lunch. So I started pulling 20s out of the banking machine. I called my husband and was like, I'm taking money out of the machine again. And I would just go buy whatever, and I would cut it up and make, help yourselves. Hey, everybody, get some. And at that time, I was doing some work with Dr. Kevin Lehman.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah, I love him.
He taught me in college.
He's a fabulous mentor. I've got so many stories about him. But we approached the Steele Foundation and asked if we could create some kind of an account for meal cards. And at that time, that type of venue wasn't available. So Mike and I started a nonprofit. And it's kind of a funny sort of thing, bridging a gap.
Yes.
You know, a nonprofit for the nonprofit. But we set out to do meal cards.
Yeah.
And 20 years later, we're doing so much more.
Well, that is so, it's amazing. And so... your daughter. So what happened? Mm-hmm. What was the?
Yeah, Lizzie was transfused dependent, and the entire city of Tucson surrounded our lives by hosting blood drives constantly. We were always in the news. There was always a situation where donated blood was necessary. And I think age of 5, Lizzie was on stage and did a little conversation for El Tour de Tucson and Tunedito. And she was just an instant hit, and people started asking us to have her come and give a pitch for their blood drive. And so blood drives kind of became the evolution of what we were asking the community to do, and the community vibrantly stepped up to the plate to save children's lives by donating blood, a product that we can't go out and buy.
Absolutely.
And we have to have it donated. So that became one of our first platforms, continues to be one of our main platforms today. But in that process of living in the hospital, Lizzie watched the toy box continually be empty. Mm. And that began our toy campaign, or Lizzie's Loot. So year round, we must acquire tens of thousands of toys, all different places and spaces in hospitals where children go. If you don't live this lifestyle, it's almost better if I don't really talk about some of these places, but they are life-saving entities of where fragile children must go, must live. And so we provide a bit of childhood in those places and spaces with a toy.
It's so great. And I think I've shared this before, but when my son was 17, he was hit by a car. And so I lived 4 months in a hospital, just in it, and I hadn't thought about it till you brought it up mm-hmm. just right now. He had traumatic brain injury. He had to have 5 brain surgeries during that time. He was in a coma. He wasn't supposed to live. He is now married and has an 8-month-old little girl and 2 other children from his wife's previous marriage. And so he's a great dad. He's working for DCS. He's helping other families.
Oh, wow.
So it's a success story, but it just brought me back to the not knowing and sitting in a room waiting to get information and surgeries and things that, and you just don't know what to expect. And you were given the worst news that he probably won't make it. And,
right.
And so you don't even look at the trauma that a family is going through. So something like this, a toy or food, something that brings comfort, is so important for people.
Well, you know, that's so interesting you bring that up, because injury trauma kids are one of the, you know, recipients of donated blood. But
yes.
The thing that happens most often when a dire situation like that occurs is that the family is immediately at numerous losses. And that's the phone call we get in the middle of the night.
Right.
That's the conversation we have with those caregivers and those professionals who serve these families. We will be notified that the ambulance picked up a child and the mom jumped in the back of the vehicle and she was wearing shorts and a tank top.
Right.
And we're the ones called to go down somewhere and get size X, whatever, and bring it to the emergency room. We hand over the products, and that becomes our 94 and more campaign that we've started to launch this year. And in doing that, we are able to collect really money, because immediately we have to be able to act for those professional caregivers in order to support families, just like what you said, in that urgent situation.
Yeah. 6:30 in the morning, running cross country, hit by a car. The driver was late for work. And so in an instant, your life, you. I didn't wake up that morning having to make decisions about, they had to remove part of his brain. I wasn't a brain surgeon the night before. So you are faced with so mm-hmm. many things, and that's just our situation. But each of these situations require somebody to be comforting that person. And there's a lot of times we're helpless. We need the doctors, we need the surgeons, we need the people in the hospital to do their part. But if we can, as human beings, help another family in crisis, what a wonderful way. We need to do more of that.
And Kathleen, you started the hour by saying, you know, Kathy has a great reputation in Tucson. I mean, she does. She gets phone calls from all of these hospitals and social workers, nurses who are like, Kathy, we need your help. You know, we're doing an event in January for Team Lizzie Bell. And, you know, I want an audio of all of these. Kathy, can you help us? Kathy, can you come? Kathy, did you get my text? Kathy, yeah. Kathy, Kathy. And it's her cell phone that people call and know that she will come through for them.
Absolutely.
And it's incredible the work that Team Lizzie Bell has been able to do over the last 29 years, really. And, you know, Lizzie is doing well, you know, and I think that's a success story, just as your son's story is a success story.
Those are the miracles, right?
Right.
Oh, such a miracle.
But not many are, you know.
And we have to be there either way.
Right.
We have to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to come back and talk to Aaron and to Kathy some more. But remember, today is Giving Tuesday, and we are talking about Team Lizzie Bell and all the things that we can do as a community to support each other. I'm Kathleen Wynn. This is Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice, your trusted local news and talk. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson on this Giving Tuesday. I have the great fortune to be with Kathy Bell and Aaron Mendebles here in studio, and we are talking about helping families who have medically... How did you say it?
They always say medically fragile kids.
Medically fragile, and there's so many things that happen, and our kids seem to be. I mean, we have older kids, fentanyl problem. Younger kids, we have. I had a cousin who passed away from leukemia when he was 14. So I know that that family.
Yes,
it's a hard thing, and we look at all the kids in. Make-A-Wish, like those kids that are medical challenges.
Love Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, I love Make-A-Wish too. They're a terrific organization. So, Kathy, so your daughter's live? She's still alive?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and how old is she now?
She's 29. I know. She's getting up there and graduating from the University of Arizona.
Oh, wonderful. Yep. What's she studying?
She studied fine arts. She, photography.
Oh,
a lot of fun.
That's great. I have my seven kids. My youngest, Paige, is a photographer, an amazing photographer. And it's a creative, wonderful mm-hmm. outlet. And what a great expression. So back to Team Lizzie Bell. It sounds like you've got all these other side projects underneath one big umbrella. Am I wrong to hear it that way?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When we were living this lifestyle, you become acquainted with the various platforms that all these people inside the hospital have to come together and make happen for your child, for the family, for the professional serving. And so as we learned what was needed, we just used our nonprofit to fund. We would create a email, we would create a letter, we would create phone calls, mm-hmm. and we would say, this is what's needed, and we would help these professionals or these families do what was the next step. What was the next light onto the path?
Right. It's so one of the things you do is mentor other people, mm. correct?
Yes.
And that, is that how you two know each other?
Well, Kathy and I met when they were doing Team Lizzie Bell was doing a casino event at the
Stillwell House.
Yeah. And I just came across those pictures, the photo booth pictures. I had donated the photo booth to their event. I mean, that was in 2013, I think.
Okay.
And
just a few minutes ago.
Yeah. And I had never met the family. I didn't know anything about them. I was friends with someone that was on the board and she had asked. And so fast forward to coming out of COVID, we were at a lunch and we ended up sitting next to each other and she introduced herself and said she was with Team Lizzie Bell. And I was like, are you really Kathy Bell? Like, it was this, you know, person I had never met, but heard so many great things about. And at that time, there was no Bella Vita Tucson. And so, you know, it was just me getting to talk to her and really see how she was utilizing the community, but also kind of educating the community on the items that were needed for Team Lizzie Bell, the donations that were needed. But when you educate people and then ask, it's a different ballgame. People feel a little more inclined to want to get involved.
Well, I think that's such an important thing to do because there's so many needs in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's asking for money. And you want to make sure if you're giving your money that it's going to be used in a way that it's impactful, it has meaning, and can actually help solve a problem as opposed to, you know, and it's nothing against big organizations that take in a lot of money, but I think we're all a little suspect at this point. And we want to make sure that the dollars that we spend stay in our community. At least I do, and can have some really meaningful way to impact a situation. I think that's the most important thing that we can do. You know, I say that it's all God's stuff, and we just have to be good stewards with it. And it sounds to me like that's what the two of you are doing.
And I think, you know, you talking about Make-A-Wish, you know, that was a mom on a mission who started it. You know, it started in Phoenix, Arizona, a mom on a mission, you know, and then Kathy Bell, a mom on a mission. She started to fill this gap, you know, of something that was needed. I mean, there's over 4,000 501c3s in Pima County, more than any other, you know, county in the United States. I mean,
that tells us about our giving hearts to our giving community.
But, you know, when you get a mom that is like, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
It's a
get out
very,
of the way.
Yeah, get out of the way. That's exactly right. And that's what Kathy really has shown me is through love and kindness, you can go out and do hard things. And it's just been incredible for me to see, you know, and learn from her.
That's great. And so, Kathy, it sounds like Aaron's being mentored or your organization. So what...
I think it's almost... we are being mentored about eating disorders and the serious nature of those children, those young people in our community whose resources are very, very limited right now. And the medical complications that come with that are things that Team Lizzie Bell is already very invested in.
Yes.
And so this partnership with Erin Mendiblis and her family and Una Bella Vita is a perfect segue to help this next group of people, especially after COVID.
Yeah, and COVID really taught us a lot about what worked and what didn't work in our families, right?
I mean,
we were kind of
so true.
You know, we were kind of forced to be together, it's not a bad thing, but it redesigned our interactions with people. And for a generation of kids, certain ages, it really impacted their social growth. I work with a Katie McPherson. She works statewide on teen suicide. So there's been a lot of impact to a certain age group of kids, and we're going to have to keep watching them because they're behind in school. Their lives were probably the most impacted by the COVID shutdown and their socialization, everything else that's happening. So, has that impacted either of your groups?
Yeah. I mean, you know, eating disorders are the deadliest mental health disorder, from suicidal ideations that turn into, suicide. And then of course from, you know, not eating, the day our pediatrician said, Erin, you have to get her out of Arizona to get her help, was the week before she and her medical assistant had gone to a funeral for a 17-year-old who had died from anorexia. Mm. And so the medical assistant in the room at the pediatrician's office is bawling. I mean, she was crying like I'd never seen someone. And so it really was what I needed to be like, holy cow, there's nothing here in Tucson to help my child. I have to leave my hometown of Tucson and only one place in Phoenix, you know, and they didn't accept insurance. So we had to leave. We had to get out of Tucson, Arizona altogether, you know, and it was hard. And, you know, at the time, like I said, Kathy and I weren't really very close yet.
Yeah.
And so what I know now is that gap of what people need when their children are having to go get care. But, you know, for pediatrics overall, I mean, there's a lack of care for pediatric patients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pediatric endocrinology is on the decline. There's not enough of them. You know, pediatric dietitians, pediatric therapy, all of these things that are specialized, because you can't talk to an adult the same way you talk to a child. There are different ways to deal with this.
Absolutely.
It is crazy that this is happening. You know, I was told that one of our hospitals in town just lost all of their child psychiatrists. So you are going to go into a hospital in Tucson and not be able to see a child psychiatrist, and you will have to see an adult. And I mean, that's, I don't even know what to say to that.
Well, and the staffing thing, another side effect of COVID. We know a lot of people quit. I don't know where you are on the vaccination thing, but there was a lot of things that impacted, and we're still dealing,
right.
And that's a consequence of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, children and their brains that don't fully form till they're 25.
Right.
Exactly.
And emotional needs and mm-hmm. emotional breakdowns. And I deal with victims of sexual exploitation and sex trafficking and that kind of thing. There is trauma that is there that in some of this eating disorder may not be a trauma, but there,
right.
But you need someone who specializes in that, right. So that you are not just throwing someone in
right.
who has a broader education, but someone who specializes in children and their needs in child psychology. It is a very specialized thing.
Yeah, and I think more than that even is the need for parents to be educated too. When their child is diagnosed with an eating disorder, you now have to change the way you're talking, the way you're eating, the total transformation that has to happen of your home life has to change.
Yeah.
And it's not in a bad way, but it does have to change. And there's nothing in Tucson. And that's where Bella Vita Tucson started to fill a gap, was to try and help parents and the eating disorder patients, the adolescents.
So bulimia, anorexia, are there other?
Oh yeah, there's overeating, there's ARFID, there's orthorexia, which is the newest one.
What is that?
Gwyneth Paltrow is kind of she talked about eating bone marrow and having almonds, you know, and everyone, when we were at the hospital, was like, oh my gosh, stop talking, please. Like, that's not healthy. And it's not, you know. Yeah. And, you know, on different media sites, they call them almond moms, you know, where my five-year-old's going to have broccolini and four almonds and we're going to have soy milk. Like, you're creating food as the villain, and you don't need to do that.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break and we come back. Can you ladies stay with me and we'll talk more about some good things that are happening here and the
definitely
work that you're, okay, great.
Thank you.
So I'm joined by Erin
Mendibles.
Okay, there you go. We're not even drinking margaritas yet this morning. And Kathy Bell. We'll be back right after this. Please stay with us. Kathleen Wynn on Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson on this Giving Tuesday, and I have two women in my studio that give a lot and are out there working every day to make other people's lives better. Kathy Bell from Team Lizzie Bell and Erin Mendibles. Mendibles, I got it.
You
yes.
got it.
with Bella Vita. So I think that during the break we were kind of talking, and one of the things is a lot of the work you do, people don't even know that there's a need for what you're doing, right?
Right.
So share with me, if you want, about what some of the things that happen that you kind of are a stopgap. Like, it's not like you just don't do one thing.
Correct. No, we do a few things.
It sounds like more than a few, Kathy.
Well, you know, something came into our life recently. We got a phone call. We got a text, actually, in the middle of the night from a nurse. Hospice area was receiving an infant, and the hospice area wasn't really set up in order to have a family coming in where their child would be passing away. Mm. So this nurse thought about us and contacted and said, what can we do? By 7 in the morning, I was out rushing around Tucson. I had a number of infant items already at my house, but we completely redecorated the hospice room to be ready for this family. They could hold their baby, they could rock their baby. We had blankets, we had all kinds of items, even a beautiful plant that we put in the room so that when this family walked into the space, it received them to be able to be a nursery for their moment of what they had to deal with. And those kinds of activities, when you're moving through the community, will, you know, you want to do everything you can because you can't change. You can't change this medical journey.
No.
But when you do these things on the fly, they're anywhere from $300, $400, $500, sometimes even thousands of dollars when a child, a family's in a dire situation and the staff, everyone has to move quickly. So we'll get a phone call, we'll get a text, and we've done this so often now that we're pretty good at mobilizing a bigger team.
Yes.
But we're very confidential. We're very quiet. We really have never, ever told people all the dimensions
and you
that
don't,
we've been asked to do.
And what's so fabulous is you don't exploit the situation and you don't exploit the family to make money for your organization. You're just out there very quietly behind the scenes with a servant heart, you know, really doing God's work as far as I can tell. And doing something that in the moment for that family, they're just focused on the death or whatever that they're dealing with, and you're there to be a caregiver.
And, you know, as far as these families know, they walk into the space and we hope that their heart believes that this is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the team, these nurses, these caregivers, it really creates much less of a burden because they don't have a choice but to deal with what is coming, what is next with that family. And for us to be able to be there to provide that level of comfort, that's what is the most important for us. So partnering with Erin and Bella Vita is a part of that fragile life when a family finds out that their young person in pediatrics is not eating anymore, and they're down to 50, 60, 70 pounds, and all of a sudden they're at, you know, that death's door.
Yeah. Just the thought and the care, it doesn't change the outcome, but in the moment it may bring comfort and take away something, take away some of the pain. What do you hear from people after? I mean, obviously people know to call you. So
the staff. Yeah,
the staff. And so
now we need the donations. 94 and more is a new mindset for Team Lizzie Bell. We have done, you know, bone marrow and blood and toys. People know us for Lizzie's Loot, and we've done baby showers that people come and they bring a toy and they learn about Team Lizzie Bell. Now to start to talk about 94 and more, 94 being the year that Lizzie was born. And, you know, people every quarter can donate $250 to raise $100,000. And our goal is with the $100,000 to be able to have that liquid immediacy of money. And to be able to, when Kathy gets that phone call at 3 a.m. or midnight, to be able to know that there is money to be able to go and get the items that are needed right away.
Exactly.
The gift cards for food from Fry's, the gas cards, replacing someone's tires because they're having to drive back and forth to Phoenix to get the correct care for their child. All of those things are right away. You have to do that right away. And so if there's not a liquid ability with money, then there's a, you know, the gap gets bigger. And I think for Team Lizzie Bell, that has been, you know, they've been known for Lizzie's Loot for so long, and the blood drives and the bone marrow, you know, registering people to be bone marrow donors. But now it's time for them to be a donor of monetary funds. And I think this is, you know, 94 and more is a great idea. Jeff Heath is on our board and he really came up with this idea and I love it. I mean, I think, you know, our logo is going to have the different faces of people that Team Lizzie Bell has been able to help and in the shape of a 94. And, you know, when you don't have the ability to tell everyone the story of what happens behind the scenes of Team Lizzie Bell, I mean, it's just such an impactful organization that has been around for so long, which is incredible. And it's just a true testament to what Team Lizzie Bell has done in this community.
So thank you, Erin.
Liz, it's quite the testimony, and it's true. I mean, and because people come in and out of the, you mentioned all the nonprofits, but if you're not actually doing the work and you're not actually providing a service, people will say, oh, well, that's just it gets diminished. And if you're not doing it for the right reasons and you're not doing it to serve people, those organizations don't stick around. So it tells me a lot about the integrity and your heart, that you are still here and that people call you at all times. I thought I was the only one, so now I feel good that I have a kindred, a spirit. I get calls and ask my husband all times of the day and night, but to me, you seem like another mom, both of you, that never say no. Like that if someone needs something, you will find a way. And that's to your point in the very beginning, Erin, get out of the way. If you've got a mom with a mission, just if you're not going to help, just step aside because we're going to get this done, right? That's what women, that's what women with purpose do. And you both have wonderful, wonderful commitments and purpose to the work that you're doing. Kathy, when you take care of these families and you do all these things, and you're working with hospitals and is there ever a time, if you were to like, what's missing right now that would make this, is there anything, people's resources, people's money? Today's Giving Tuesday. What is the number one need that you're finding right now? I think it changes.
It does change. Erin brought up 94 and more, and that definitely is our newest campaign in order to ensure that we have those liquid funds. On a day-to-day basis right now, we have these different bins that go into the registration area of the hospital where a child is being received in order to go into their next procedure or the next clinic visit. Most often, these children will have some kind of a puncture, some kind of a needle, some kind of an unpleasant experience that will start off their event for that day or the inpatient sessions or whatever. And we supply, I think there's about 8 bins so that all of the registration people will have something to offer the child and their siblings. So we tend to go buy out the shelves of Dollar General and
yes.
Walmart and all of these different locations, and we fill these bins. Each bin is costs us about $250 to fill them up, and we take them into the hospital so that these these staff members will have something to give children. So it's neat for us to hear that they will be in one hand holding that tie toy, and then the other arm is extended in order to receive whatever's going to happen with them next. But those bins cost us $250 per bin. We have 8 of them, and on a monthly basis, we need to refill those bins. So we're looking for businesses
yes.
to take on that responsibility
and to sponsor
with
your
us.
Bins. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I think the great thing is the staff at these hospitals trust, you know, Team mm-hmm. Lizzie Bell, and they've let us know, you know, those big TY stuffed animals,
tie toys
are great for when they're doing IVs. And so the child's arm can rest on it
yes.
or the needle can rest on it. And they've let us know exactly what they need
yeah.
to be able to help these children get through those procedures. And they're not fun as an adult. Can you imagine doing this as a child?
Well,
too?
And as a child, knowing that that's what you're going in for.
Right.
For a
it
process.
Was funny. We just delivered those tie toys to one of the hospitals, and the child life said, oh, thank God, they're the little tiny stuffed animals. We use these to help prop up the infants in ICU with when they're intubated.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that our toys were being used that way, because we hand over whatever it is that the staff wants. And we buy these things in cases.
Yeah.
We buy in bulk so that they always have what they need. So, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a group reached out to Kathy for the handprints. When a child passes away, they want to be able to do handprints. They bought 5 pallets of them,
yeah,
you know, 3 or 4 years ago. They're out of them now, and they've reached back out, you know,
yeah.
And it's a large chunk of change to get that many, you know, of those things to be able to put your handprint on of your child who has just passed away. And it's something, again, if you don't go through that, you don't even think about it.
You don't think about it.
But
and the thing too, bringing up the pallets, we call the company of that product.
Yeah.
And we send them our 501c3, and we work with them directly so that we get the lowest cost.
Right.
And then we use the local community, whether it's Michael's or what store we're moving the item through,
yes,
so that it makes it best for the local vendor as well as for the recipient of the product. So we don't just go out and buy these things. We work with these major corporations.
But obviously there's a need if a pallet has just not disappeared,
right,
but been used over the... We've got to take a short break, ladies.
Thank
and
you.
Then when we come back, I know it's going fast, right? You guys are doing great job. Great job. So I'm talking to Kathy Bell and Aaron Mendibles. See, I'm getting good at this,
right? You did
great. I'm Kathleen Wynn, and this is Wynn Tucson on 1030 The Voice on Giving Tuesday. We'll be back. Welcome back to Wynn Tucson, and I have to say that I am so impressed with the work that these women are doing. When you find good women with good hearts and they have a cause, you just got to stay out of the way, because they are going to get lots of stuff done. and you are.
That's the truth.
And so, so it is Giving Tuesday, so how do people... reach you, get your information. We'll repeat it at the very end, but I want them to be prepared. So tell us, if they want to give to Team Lizzie Bell, what do they do, Kathy?
You know, I would email at info@teamlizziebell.org. So info@teamlizziebell.org.
And Lizzie, L-I-Z-Z-I-E.
L-I-Z-Z-I-E, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, and let us know what your ideas are. Let us know what your capacity is. What is something that can be definitely something at your pulse that you really want to join our efforts. You know, we were just talking about food and the food cards. People don't understand, when you're displaced from your role at home, all those children, all those people that are in the home, they have to do something in order to make it day to day while mom or dad or the caregiver is in the hospital with that fragile child. So that's what the gift cards are for. If that's the grandmother, if that's the babysitter, if that's the neighbor that's helping with the normal day to day to keep going on.
Yes.
That's where we support with these gift cards, the gas cards, the teenager that's driving back and forth to the hospital. We provide a Starbucks card, you know, something that continues to make their life as normal as possible. And I think that's just a big understanding. Ask us questions. Ask me your questions. I will help you understand why it is that we do what we do.
Absolutely. And this is life and death sometimes. And so, you know, when you're going around and you have your normal life and everything, you know, it's holidays and ever, mm-hmm. but then when someone's faced with a life and death thing, it changes their perspective in an instant. And so their priorities have to change. And in all these things that you just mentioned, they don't even think about.
Right.
Because
no.
they're focused on whatever the crisis is.
Yeah.
And so to have an organization, both of you, it is so important because you have perspective for them when they
sure.
they are laser focused. And I can't underscore that
yeah.
enough.
And they rack up all kinds of credit card debt because they're afraid to let people know that they have these very simple basic needs
right.
in order to keep things as normal as possible. Because to tell the whole family exactly what you're doing in these dire situations,
no.
it's too much.
Mm-hmm. I did a blog because I couldn't talk to everyone and everyone wanted to know what was going on. And I just had to start to do a blog because I couldn't take all the calls. And you really don't function at the level that you were functioning
no.
at right before whatever happens,
right,
happens. You've got to adjust your perspective.
Yeah, we were traveling back and forth. I was traveling to Denver every weekend to see Isabella. I would come back, work for 3 days, and then travel back to Denver. And it was a mind-boggling experience. You're dealing with, you know, airplane travel, you're dealing with public transportation, trying to find a hotel, trying to find all of these things while you also know your daughter has just had feeding tube, an NG tube put in her, and is bawling on the phone calling you, please come get me. You know, I mean, it's just, eating disorders is a medically fragile child. You know, all of these things that you don't know unless you know. And most of us, fortunately, don't know.
Right.
And that's okay. But when you hear the stories, maybe it moves you enough to want to be able to help another family. And eating disorders is a very silent disease. We're not on, you know, social mm-hmm. media starting a campaign to have our child, you know, funded,
right.
you know, like a cancer walk or something like that.
Yeah.
Most people
they
are
don't see this
silently.
Yeah, it's right. a mental illness. It's mental.
It is. It's a very deadly mental illness. And for the 18 and under, you know, population, it's the parents who really have to just get out there and fight this fight while they are trying to work full time and take care of their other children. And, you know, it's a horrible thing to have to deal with. And, you know, my daughter made a comment the other day, I wish I had something else like cancer where they could give me medicine and I would be okay. Because this is a lifetime that she will probably have to deal with this. And unfortunately, a child doesn't realize that you may die from cancer, Bella, so don't really say that, you know,
yeah.
but at the
don't
moment,
put that out there.
Yeah, but at the moment, you know, yeah, right now,
it's an infliction and it makes her different.
And it makes her different. That's exactly right.
All the other kids, and more than anything, kids want to blend in.
Right. She says constantly, I just want to be normal.
Yes.
You know, and so, I mean, Bella Vita Tucson has, you know, a Facebook page that you can read our story. We have a website, bvtucson.org. But Kathy really helping to, again, show me how we can help. And so those gift cards for families is what we're giving. We give scholarships to families who have let us know that they need some help with getting gas, getting food when you're there, Uber rides when you're at the hospital, back and forth if you're not living there. Because you're not, because you're traveling outside of Arizona for help.
Go ahead.
Well, and I think the other thing too that you brought up was the parent support.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out how you're going to be that group for that family is difficult. And we've had to tell ourselves over and over again, it's not our story, what you're going through, but we know what it took for us to make it.
Yeah.
And therefore, we want to at least do that part of the journey that we can be most helpful.
Absolutely. The empathy is so important. And you've learned something. So like now when people call you, you don't have to relearn it. They're learning it for the first time.
Right.
But you already know. And you already know what to anticipate. And just that alone is so valuable to a family in crisis. I mean, just that there's someone there who can guide them and be there for them and give them the things that they need, things that they don't think about.
Right. Or the staff.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's hard on them.
And I think when you say there's nowhere, I mean, truly, there is nowhere, you know, for the 18 and under population here in Tucson. And so ultimately, our goal is to, you know, open a campus, an eating disorder campus, the old Carondelet Hospital on Stone, just south of River.
You don't have a
bless it as we drive by.
Every time we drive by it, that's the eating disorder campus, you know, where we would have free processing groups for families. We would have inpatient and residential care.
I love
We would have all of these things there for people to come and be able to get educated as the family members and be able to get care as the patients. And then, you know, Team Lizzie Bell will be in with us, you know, and it will be a huge help to our community, but to families outside of our community also. And I think it's something that Tucson needs. That building is an eyesore. It's been sitting vacant for at least 7 years. It's time to make a change and to have an eating disorder campus here in Tucson, Arizona.
I love it.
And you know, these kids, when they're fragile kids, they're on different kinds of medications. All of their eating behaviors have changed because of whatever their condition is. And we find through the adults that they also have disordered eating.
Yes.
And so it has its layers that contribute to each other when you talk about serious illness.
Well, I think it's important, too, that kids understand that there's people out there that care about them, that the families understand that there's people that care about them, and that this doesn't make you different. There's probably more of you than people realize.
Well, and that's what I tell Bella all the time. No one has a sign on their, you know, forehead at school saying, I have a eating disorder, or I'm dealing with leukemia, or my dad just got diagnosed with Parkinson's. You know, nobody knows. And it's okay that nobody knows, but Bella has now become this mentor at her school where people know that she has an eating disorder, and people have come and started talking to her. She's meeting with someone tomorrow in the library to talk to them.
That's
and
great.
I was like, wow, Isabella. So she's becoming a mentor.
So we've got about a minute or so left, I think. Yes. So I want you guys again. So Kathy, if people want to give to Team Lizzie Bell, L-I-Z-Z-I-E, tell us where they go.
You can go to teamlizziebell.org. We are rebuilding our website, but go ahead and use the one that's there. You can email us at info@teamlizziebell.org, L-I-Z-Z-I-E. And please let us know what your ideas are, what type of giving is important for you, and how you would like to be a resource of help.
Because you guys are so organic or eclectic, actually, is a better word, that you could, you're doing all kinds of things that everyone needs.
Correct.
Erin Mendibles.
Thank you.
Bella Vita, pediatric eating disorder peer support.
Yes.
Where do people go to help you?
So B as in boy, V as in Victor, Tucson.org, BVTucson.org. And I do want to stress, you know, if people are going to Team Lizzie Bell and making a donation and they put in their Bella Vita, we are kind of co-branding together. And so that organization is now going to be able to help Bella Vita.
Contact us.
Ladies.
That's the big deal.
And we will post this information on our website. And so just thank you for coming in and sharing on Giving Tuesday. This is the most generous group of people I could have in one room at the same time.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yes, thank you.
China Watch tomorrow. I'm Kathleen Nguyen on The Voice.